Okay, Shalom uvracha to everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. I'll come back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. I feel like we only missed 1 week, but I feel discombobulated, like it's been a very long time since we had Shir. So Baruch Hashem, we're back. And I want to thank tonight's sponsor, Tzipi Youngar is sponsoring. It was her first time sponsoring, and we thank her very much. She is sponsoring as a dedication for a Refuah Shleima for all Cholim, as well as the Shir on these Devarei Torah should be the Zecher Nishmas and the Ilui Nishmas Yitzchak Ben Avram, Alav Hashem, the Zecher Nishmas or Yitzchak Ben Avram, and a Refuah Shleima for all Cholim, Besoch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael. Thank Tzipi very much for her sponsorship of tonight's Shir, Tizkli Mitzvot Ulamaisim Tovim. So let us learn. I'm going to begin by screen sharing. We're going to look at the Bar Tanura right from the beginning of Mishnah Avos, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. I have it here. I'm just going to screen share it with you and take you to it. Here it is. Could you see it says Mishnah Avos 1:1 on my screen? Someone who I could see? Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, so how does the Mishnah begin? I'm going to put you up here. I'm going to get my pointer. All right, so how does this whole Masechta begin? There are six prakim in Mishnah Avos. Moshe kibel Torah misina u'masara liyoshua v'yoshua lezakenim u'zakenim v'nevim v'nevim misaru ala anshei knesset ha'gadola. So the first first teaching really of Pirkei Avos, of Mishnah Avos, is to tell us the Masorah, the transmission of the Masorah. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. He transmitted it, the Masorah, to Yoshua, Yoshua to the Zakenim, the elders, the Zakenim to the prophets transmitted to the men of the great assembly, and from teacher to Talmud in every generation, from Rabbi to Talmud in every generation, all the way down to us. You should be patient in judgment, you should establish many students, you should make a fence around the Torah. But the first thing that we know is that there is a Mesorah to how the Torah is transmitted. And Moshe received the Torah, called Torah Kula, Torah Shevichtav, Torah Shevapah, was received by Moshe, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. The Bar Tanura, the famous Italian commentator on the Mishnah, tells us something very fundamental at the beginning of Maseches Avos. Now we know we've been speaking about Shammai says, Hevi Mekabos Kodam B'Sever Panim Yafos. Rabbi Yishmael says in Perek Gimel, Hevi Mekabos Kodam B'Simcha. We know we have to be nosei ba'ol im chavero. We cannot judge our friend until we get to their place. We have to be patient with others. We have to be kind. So Pirkei Avos is an unusual Masechta Mishnayos because it deals so much with interpersonal relationships. For example, the second Mishnah already tells us the Torah stands upon three things, Torah, Voda, and Gemilas Chasadim. So there's a tremendous focus on Bein Adam Lechavero in Mishnah Avos. So the question is why? Asei lecha rav, knei lecha chaver, v'hei v'danes kol adam lekav sechus. You should make for yourself a rav, you should establish or acquire for yourself a friend, you should judge every person for the side of merit. Nitar Bailey says, stay away from a bad neighbor. Do not connect. Do not make up a chabur with the Rishayim. Do not despair of Purana. So we see even from these examples that this is a Masechta that deals with Bein Adam Lechaveru, between man and fellow man. So now let us look back the Bar Tanura. This is the opening of the Bar Tanura to Mishnah Avos. Before he begins to expand upon the Mishnah, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, so the Bar Tanura says, Mimisha Nigla Misinai, from the one that was revealed at Sinai. It doesn't mean Moshe got the Torah from a mountain. It means he got the one from who was revealed at the Mount of Sinai, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, but this is Bar Tanura's really introduction to this Masechta. Omer Ani, I say, Lafisha Masecha Zu Einu Miyusedes Al Perush Mitzvah Mitzvah Satorah Kshar Masechta Shabamishta. This tractate of Mishnayos is very unique, says the Bar Tanura, because I say that this Masechta is not founded upon interpretation of the mitzvahs of Torah, like the other Masechtos in Mishnayos. So the other Masechtos in Mishnayos tell you about when you can recite the Kriya Shema. They tell you the opinion of Arba Minim. They tell you about Matzah and Marah. They tell you about Zman Tefillah. The Bar Tanura says this Masechta is very different. It is not founded upon the interpretation of the mitzvahs and the mitzvahs of Torah. It's not elucidating the mitzvahs in the Torah like the other Masechtos. So Mishnayos is the Torah Shabbat Peh. It was transmitted to us, given over to us by the Tanaim, even though Rashi tells us very explicitly both Torah Shabbat Tav and Torah Shabbat Peh were given to Moshe Moshe at Har Sinai, but the Tanaim were the vehicle or the vessel to transmit us the Mishnais, and what they are doing is elucidating upon Torah Shebichtav. So the Tzedukim take Torah Shebichtav and they end there. Prushim, the Torah to Jews, understand that there's no Torah Shebichtav without Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a package deal. The Torah Shebaal Peh elucidates for us what the Torah Shebichtav is saying. So the other Masechtas and Mishnayos are exactly that, an elucidation, I don't want to use the word enhancement, a clarification, a teaching of how you fulfill the mitzvos in Torah Shebichtav. But Pirkei Avos is very different. Elo kulo musarim umidos. The Bar Tanura says, Mishnah Avos is full of musar, which we translate as chastisement, if we need to translate it. Chastisement, I don't know another word, musar. Umidos, it's telling you how to be a better person. Rav Pam Zatzal says, why are character traits called midos? Really means, midos means a measure. Midos does not mean character traits. It means a measure. So Rav Pam Zatzal says, why are midos called measure? Why are, midos defined by the word measure? Because you can tell the measure of a person based on their midos. The midos of a person is the best way to measure a person. Not a fancy, not I'm in vacation, I'm not really going on winter break. They're midos. A person's midos are the defining measure and mark of a man. So this masechta, says the Bar Tanura, is all of musar, and it's all of admonishments and teachings to help us improve our midos, to change the people we are. V'chach me'umas olam, gam kin chibus farm. Yeah, you know, the wise people of the nations of the world, they also have scholars, they also have intellectuals, they also have authors, they also have thinkers and philosophers. They also compose books. Kamosha Badam Ulibam, Adarchim Musar. Their heart motivated them, the Umos Ha'olam, the nations of the world. And they also compose Farim. Their heart motivated them in the path of Musar. Musar is the wrong translation here, but their heart motivated them in the way that a person should behave. So if you go to Greek philosophy, I have no idea, I never learned it, or Roman writings, also I never learned it, but the Bar Tanura says that the Umasum, today you have so many books, I think, how to be a better person, seven habits of highly effective people. So you also have from the Umas Olam, their wise people also compose books, and these books tell you how a person should behave with their friends. So is that what Mishnah Avos is? Just like the Umas Olam have the way you should behave your friend. Is that what Mishnah Avos is? The Fichach Hischel Atana B'Masechazu Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. And that is why the Tana begins with Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Lo Mar Lacha, to tell you, Shehamidos V'Musarim Shebezu HaMasechta Lo Badu Osam Chachmei Mishnah Milibam Ela Av Elu Nemu B'Sinai. It's not that Almanzus Umorim Yochlu was said at Sinai and be patient was not said at Sinai. In fact, Havim Mesunim Bedin is the first teaching. It's not the Inisim Es Nashu Seich and fasting on Yom Kippurim was said at Sinai and being soft-spoken was not. It's not the Shmira Shabbos was said at Har Sinai and being kind-hearted was not. So you shouldn't think that just like the Umas Olam have their philosophers and their teachers and their scholars and they also teach people how to behave in Adam Echaveru. So that's what the Tanaim are doing. There's Torah and then there's philosophy according to the heart of our sages. No. That is why the Bar Tanura says the Tanaim begin by telling you that this Masechta that came from Har Sinai, just like every other Masechta, just like Shmir Shabbos is from Har Sinai, so too is Hevei Mekabel Kodem B'Sefer Panim Yafos. Just like I just said Shabbos, so I don't know, another one. There's a lot of mitzvahs in Torah. Shemitah is from Har Sinai, so too Hevei Mekabel Kodem B'Simcha. Just like Yovel is from Sinai, so too you should be no say but Olam Chaveru. Just like Ma'achalos Asuras and Ma'achalos Mutaros, this week's Parsha Shmini are from Sinai, so too is Hevei Danas Kodem Kavschos. So therefore, the Bar Tanura explains that what we have to know is Tikkun HaMidos, and Yanei Musa that guides us to become better people through which we are measured, is also from Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a package deal from a Yid. It's not only to keep kosher and shake lulav and eshrog and eat matzah and maror. But if you eat matzah and maror, very nice, and the matzah is totally kosher and it's shmura and it's the most muhudar and the maror is perfect and there's no bugs and you checked it 20 times under the light, that's very nice. But you're screaming at the people at the Seder because the table wasn't set exactly how you wanted it. So you missed the whole point. It's not just that that's from Har Sinai. This is also from Har Sinai. So maybe the table's not set up. Maybe the salt water wasn't made and something happened and it wasn't exactly how you want. And a person comes over from Mishal and they see that it's not exactly set. You already know, I'm not going to tell you to again, Rabbi Zavlaf and the Challah cover. It's mamish what we're talking about. So the Bartanur says, let's look at the Bartanur again. I'm not going to translate it now, okay? Blinir. Omer Ani. The way we interact with other people, the volume of my voice when I talk to others, the tone of my voice when I talk to others, the words and inflection when I talk to my others, that is all from Sinai. That is not because our philosophers decided that that is how a Jew should behave. It's because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said a Jew should behave. And it's especially relevant during this, it's always relevant, by the way, especially during this time period of year when it's much busier in households, and there are more tasks to be done. I went to 3 different supermarkets 3 days in a row to do Pesach shopping. Tuesday to 1 supermarket, I have 4 very big boxes plus extra bags. Wednesday to a different supermarket, and Thursday to a different supermarket. Of course, I'm not finished. I didn't even start the produce or the chicken and the meats yet. It's a very hectic time. The houses are messier. People are cleaning. We're buying groceries. Things have to be turned over. It's a more hectic time. So if a person is following the halacha and medaktik kechud ha'sara with the halacha, but he's also medaktik with a fellow human being kechud ha'sara, so that's a big problem. So a person has to know, when Pirkei Avos teaches us about the 48 traits by which Torah is acquired, that's also from Har Sinai. Not only are the halachos and the letter of the law, but the spirit in which you carry out the law is also from Har Sinai. I want to... So I think we specifically start Pirkei Avos during Pesach and Shavuos, yeah, because it's like a tikkun for the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. The Gemara tells us in Mevamo 62b, very, very nice, connects perfectly. The Gemara tells us about the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Kula Mesu Beperek Echad, Mepnei Shelo Nahagu Kavod Zelazel. When did they die? Very, very nice. Thank you. They died specifically, and the Gemara says, what was the time period? Mi Pesach Va'arat Tzaras. Tzaras is the phrase that the Torah and Chachamim used to refer to Shavuos. So the Chachamim used to refer to Shavuos. They all died from Pesach Taseres. So it's very cryptic, Gemara. It's very difficult. There's many ways to explain it, but right now let's just take it on the Pashup Shah. They didn't have cover for one another. So traditionally, there is a custom to recite Pirkei Avos after Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. I shouldn't say recite. Learn through a parak of Pirkei Avos for the 6 Shabbosos between Chag HaPesach and Chag HaShavuos, because we have to be misakim. They didn't have respect for one another. They didn't know how to honor each other. Again, it's a difficult Gemara. It's the students of Rabbi Akiva. There are other ways of explaining it, but right now let's just talk about the Pshat. So if we want to be misakim, if we want to come to Matan Torah purified and ready, Hashem does not just want us to do the Bein Adam Makom, which He does, of course. But don't forget, the other side of Luchos was Ben Adam Chaver. And in fact, that's one of the Pshatim. When Moshe came down from Har Sinai, I forget who says this. When Moshe came down from Har Sinai, he thought he could only smash the first side of the Luchos. Anoche Shemel Kacha, Asher Tzitzi Chamer Tzitzai Mebeis Avadim, 22 in Shvas. Lo Yelech Ale Mecherum Al Panay, Lo Tisa Shem Shemel Kacha Lishav, Zachar Shem Shabbos Lekadcho, Kabeya Zavicha Vesimecha. I know you're going to say it's Ben Adam Lechaver, but it's really Ben Adam Lemakom, because it teaches us about our interaction between us and God. And Moshe thought, this is not my idea, I don't remember the source, but it's definitely not my idea. It is sourced. Moshe thought he could just throw down the first half, because the people didn't transgress the other side. How did they do Lo Tinaf? Lo Tirzach, I know, they did Gilai Reis, they killed Chur. But the Pasha Psha, the sin was Chena Iga. So Moshe thought they only broke half the Torah, they could keep the other half. No, but it's a package deal. Ben Adam and Chaver, Ben Adam and Makom go hand in hand. If a person only keeps half the Torah, they're not keeping the Torah. Now, I'm not saying Chas V'Sham. If a person is working on themselves to get to where they want to be, so Gevaldik, but we have to be a work in progress. And the Midos, the way we speak, the inflection, the tone, smile or no smile, Shammai says b'sever panim yafos, Rabbi Shmuel says b'simcha, especially during a hectic time of year, a busier time of year, people might buy the wrong things at the grocery stores, the items might not come exactly as you want it, another errand, more to do, a person has to know that it's not only I'm cleaning out the chametz in my home, This is a big, big Musar word about Chametz. The Musar Sfarim speak about this. Chametz represents yourself, the Yetzer Hara within you. I'm not just cleaning out the Chametz in the home. In fact, Eliyahu Kitov in his Sefer Toda'ah writes this. By the time you get to Bdikas Chametz, there's no Chametz left in the house generally. So what are you really checking? We put out 10 pieces of bread customarily so we can find something. So he writes that a person should think if they clean themselves out entirely, they should check again. Because there's still Chametz within us. And that's really what Pirkei Avos was coming to teach us. That a person should not think the Chachmei HaTorah were motivated on their own free will. This is a reflection of who we are as Am Yisrael and the way we treat other people. And that's why it's full of Musar and Midos. I want to now go to Parshas HaChodesh, which I'm switching. I put it on the screen. You could see. Okay, so this coming Shabbos is a special Shabbos. How did I pause that? What did I do? That wasn't on purpose. Resume. I never did that before. Could you see again? That was a mistake. So this Shabbos, the final of the four special Parshios, Parshas Shkalim, Parshas Zachar, Parshas Para, Parshas HaChodesh, we read the Shabbos. It coincides with Rosh Chodesh Nisan for good reason. Why? Because it's speaking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Em Hashem and Moshe v'Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim l'emor. Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, Achodesh hazeh lechem, we're going to go through the Pesukim quickly. Achodesh hazeh lechem, b'li neder, Rosh Chodashim, Rishonu lechem, l'chad sheh shana. This month is for you the first of the months, the first of the month, of the month of the year. Rashi says, this is Nisan, year is second, Sivan is third. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Hashem showed Moshe, kaviyacha, with Hashem's finger, what the moon looks like, and when it's renewal, and that's what Moshe should make a Rosh Chodesh. So Nisan is a very, very holy Rosh Chodesh because not only is it Rosh Chodesh, it's the beginning of the year. And it's the first Rosh Chodesh that was ever sanctified in the history of Am Yisrael. And then, Dabru called us Yisrael Leimor, speak to the entire assembly of Israel, saying on the 10th of the month, of this month, Nisan, they should take each person a lamb for the father's house, a lamb for the father's household. So I'm letting them call which I declined. And it's only, my phone is only here because it's a recorder. I assume by now everybody knows that. I use a recorder app. That's the only reason it's here. And if there's not enough people in the house to eat the whole lamb, because you're not allowed to leave any over for the morning, so you go to your neighbor who's close to your house and you say, you know, you want to join together? We'll make a chabura. Every person according to what he could eat should be counted for the lamb. It should be pure. It should be a meal to the first year from the sheep or from the goats. You should take it. You should guard it until the 14th. It should be slaughtered, the entire assembly of the congregation of Israel, in the 14th towards the afternoon. Halachically, how do they calculate exactly? I don't know. And they should take from the blood. And this is all part of Parshas HaChodesh. And they should put it on the two mezuzos, the doorposts, the Valamashkov and the lintel, on the houses where they will be eating the Korban Pasach. And you should eat the meat on that night, roasted over fire. With matzah and mar, you should eat it. Don't eat it underdone. Don't eat it cooked in water. It has to be roasted over fire. Its head, its feet, its innards. Don't leave any over to the morning. Whatever's left in the morning has to be burnt. How should you eat it? With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, you're ready to go. You should eat it in great haste. It is a Pesach for Hashem. And I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night. And I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from man to animal, against all the powers of Egypt. I will do great wonders. I am Hashem. And the blood will be a sign in the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will skip over you. And there won't be a plague of destruction when I smite down the Egyptians. And this day will be for you as a remembrance. You should have this Chag to Hashem for generations, an eternal statue. You shall celebrate it. For 7 days you shall eat matzah. On the first day, make sure you get rid of all the leaven from your house. Anyone who eats chametz knowingly during this time, his soul will be cut off from Israel from the first day to the seventh day. Parshas HaChodesh is Psukim Yud Aleph through Chaf in Perek Yud Beis of Sefer Shmos. And on the first day, it's a calling of holiness. On the seventh day, it's a calling of holiness. So that's what we call in Chutzar, it's Rachman on the first days, on the second days. And it's Yisrael, Ashreichem, it's the first day and the seventh day, which is exactly what the Torah says. All work should not be done, but work that is necessary for human consumption. That's why we're allowed to halachos about how we're allowed to do certain food preparation. Bishul, Bora, Turchin, Shchita, not in that order. Certain things are allowed to do on Yom Tov because Ochal Nefesh is permitted on Yom Tov. And you should guard the matzos, in the midst of this very day, I took your legions out from the land of Egypt, and you should guard this very day for generations an eternal statue. On the 1st, on the 14th of the day, in the evening, towards the evening, you should eat matzah until the 21st of the month. For 7 days, leaven shall not be found in your houses. Anyone who eats leaven is chayiv kares from the assembly of Israel. You should not eat leaven. Okay. What I actually want to talk about is the pasuk that follows after Parshas HaChodesh. Two psukim later, what are we told? We have to say this is Parshas Bo. This is clearly, not only do we read this in conjunction with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but this is the Parshas Bo is the Parsha of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Parshas Bo contains the last three makos, Arba Choshech Makos Bechoros, Locust, Darkness, and the Plague of the Firstborn. And it's the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. We are all slaves to Paro. And then what do we say? Vayikra Moshe the Chozik Nesro Vayomer Le. Moshe called to the assembly of Israel. Why? I'm trying to make sure my recorder is working. It is, Baruch Hashem. And Moshe called to the Zekanim of Israel and he said to them, Mishchu ukuchu lechem tzon. Draw your hand away and take for yourselves a sheep. By the way, do you know what Rashi says there? I'm going to tell you what Rashi says. Mishchu ukuchu lechem tzon. So Rashi says, oh, it may not be Rashi here. It might be Rashi there that quotes it. It's actually not here. It's later where Rashi quotes it. What Moshe was telling him is draw your hands away from Avodah Zarah. Mishchu, draw your hand away from Avodah Zarah. Ukhu lechem tzon, and take the sheep of the mitzvah. We know that Malach HaYashari said to God, by Kriyas Yamsuf, 7 days later, why are you saving Am Yisrael? Elu of the Avodah Zarah, ve'elu of the Avodah Zarah. Hamayim lahem chomam, yuminam smolam, without the vav chema. We're being judged that whole night if they should be saved or not saved. So the people had sunk to the 49th level of impurity. They were involved in Avodah Zarah. Mishchu, draw your hand away from the Avodah Zarah. Chu lechem tzon, and take for yourself the sheep of the mitzvah. The mishposecha mishacha to a pasach. Okay. We should take a hyssop bundle, utvalt badam, we should dip it in the blood of the korban pasach, asher basaf, that is in the basin, v'igatim al mashko vel shtei mezuzos, you should paint the blood, touch the blood onto the lintel, onto the two doorposts, min adam asher basaf, v'atim lo seitzu ish mi pasach beso ad boker. You are not allowed to go out of your household till morning. And what's going to happen? You're sitting in the house. You painted the blood on the lintel and the doorpost. You're sitting around in your chabura, you and your neighbor and whoever else, how many people are joined upon the lamb. And you're sitting and eating the sun. And you're saying, Dayenu, Yitzani Mimitzrayim, Dayenu. You're singing Shira Chadasha Haleluka. You're singing B'tzei Sisrael Mimitzrayim. You're telling the story of Yitzhi Mitzrayim. What's happening outside? Va'avar Hashem Lin Gofes Mitzrayim. Hashem is going, Hashem Ba'atzma, Anivilo Malch, Anivilo Sarv, Ani Hashem, Anihu Levo'achar. He's going out through Egypt, killing all the firstborns, going to strike the Egyptians. However, v'ra'ah es hadam, when Hashem sees the blood, ala mashko v'al shtei mezuzos, he'll see it on the lintel on the two doorposts. U'pasach Hashem ala pasach. Hashem will skip over your entranceway. V'lo yiten ha'mashis l'v'al b'techem l'ngov. And because Hashem will skip over your house, he will not allow the destroyer to enter your house to destroy. So it will only be the firstborn of the Egyptians and the firstborn of their slaves and the firstborn of their animals. But Hashem will protect you as long as you are staying in this house. U'shmartem esodav arzeh l'chok l'chol v'nech ad olam. And you should guard this matter as an eternal statute for you and your children for generations. So why is it why is there a halacha when it comes to the Korban Pasach? And again, Parshas HaChodesh finished two psukim ago. However, the whole Parshas HaChodesh is dealing, like we saw, two psukim about Rosh Chodesh, 18 psukim about Korban Pasach and Matzah. And of course, it continues in Parshas Bo. So now the question is, why do you have to stay in your house until the morning? So let's look at Rashi, which is over here on the screen. Magid, Shema Acher Shenitna Rishus L'Mashchis L'Chabel, Ein Mavchin Beit Tzadik Rasha. Once the destroyer has been given permission to go out and destroy, the destroyer does not distinguish between the Tzadik and the Rasha. If a tzaddik is outside and a rasha is outside and the destroyer has been given permission to go out, the tzaddikim will follow Rachman al-Tzlan along with the rishayim. V'layla rishus the mechablim hu. And this was a night of permission for the destroyers to go out. If I'm not mistaken, Yimachshem v'zircham, a terrorist in Hebrew is called a mechabel. Rachman al-Tzlan Hashem Yirachem. I'm sure you saw the one of the 34-year-old. His name is Lidor Levy. I don't know if it's Lidor Levy, who is 34 years old. I think I should look just to make sure I'm saying his name correctly. Zecher Nishmaso. Shamim Kam Damo. Lidor Levy was 34 years old. He is survived by his parents, a brother and a sister, his wife, an infant daughter, and a pregnant wife. He was stabbed a few days ago, seriously, obviously critically, and today was announced that he was niftar, he passed away. And the mechabim come out, Rechman al-Etzan, the tzaddikim fa'al. Hashem yirachim, mamash dayinu. Along with the Rashaim. We should see God's great mercy to be misover. The Rashaim should fall. They should have their downfall. And the tzaddikim should be elevated. Rama kol goyim Hashem. So why should you not leave your house? Because once the mechabel has permission to destroy, einu mavchim beit tzaddik l'rasha. V'lai l'rishus l'mechabim bo. On this night, all beasts of the forest creep. Bo termos kol chayosa yar. What does this all have to do with? Why did I go to Parshas HaChodesh? What does this all have to do with how we started? We started in the Mishnah Avos, Perek Av Mishnah Av, the learning that the transmission of Torah came from Moshe, from Har Sinai to Moshe, down through the Doros, within the very powerful Bar Tanura, that a person is measured by his character traits. That's a Jewish measure of a man, his character traits. Of a person as character traits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to know that not only is Torah Shebichtav from Arsina, but so is Torah Shebal Peh. Not only is Ben Adam Lemakom from Arsina, so is Ben Adam Mechavela. And the mark of a person is if they take the Musar and the Tikkun Amidos from this Masachta, and the Tanaim therefore started by telling you that this came to us directly from Arsina. So what does this have to do with Va'atam Lo Seisu Ishmi Pesach Bei So Ad Boker? Klal Yisrael, unlike the Umas HaOlam, have to live in an elevated Kedusha lifestyle. Part of Midos is the Kedusha by which we live. The way a person drinks. The way a person eats. The way a person walks, talks in the street. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadoshim yashem lakechem. We're not so far from Parshat Kedoshim. Tazvi yamitzara achemos Kedoshim. Why do we have to be holy? Because we are the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And a Jew lives a higher living. He lives a higher, more elevated lifestyle. Because he recognizes that he is godly. He carries the divine image within. We spoke last night about the Nekudas HaShechina within every neshama. So of course I have to live. I have to be a mensch. And you think that's so obvious. But the reality is that when we look at society and the world in which we live, Rechman al-Etzlan, lo aleinu Hashem Yirachim, it's not so easy to be a mensch today, and it's not so easy when we look at the society around us. It's lacking. It's sorely lacking. I want to quote Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. Lo seisu ish mi pesach besu ad bogar. On the night of Makos Bechoros, a few hours before Yitziat Mitzrayim, the mashkus is in the street. The yidin are in their homes. They're sitting with their friends and their family, and they're eating the roasted lamb. And they are commanded to oraisa, it's a lav, to oraisa, lo seisu ish mi pesach besu ad boker. How does a yid behave? How must a Jew behave in all times in his life? On the night of freedom, says Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik the Rav, the slaves perform the movement of withdrawal. What is that? He doesn't use the word here, but that's what he's referring to. The slaves perform the movement of withdrawal, of recoil, of self-defiance and self-limitation. He's describing without using the word. The word is tzimtzum. Okay, the Kabbalists, it's a midah. The Kabbalists speak about it, the Rav speaks about it, I'm sure many others do as well. Tzimtzum means to contract or withdraw from oneself. So the Rav uses an example in a different piece about an Esrog. I know now we're talking about Pesach, but in 6 months it'll be, we shall be well, Mashiach Tzidkenu v'yavo v'yigalenu. He uses a piece about Tzimtzum with an Esrog. His father in 1921 in Warsaw managed to procure an Esrog for a small fortune. And his sister, Shalamis, was looking at the esrog, and she dropped it in the pit and fell off. And the Rav says, my sister became hysterical. He says, my father did not say one word. He did not say one word. He said, to spend a small fortune on Esther is another thing, is one thing. Now today, it's hard for us to relate, because at every supermarket and every plaza and at every pop-up shop, there are shrugin, but we're not talking about it. We're talking about more than 100 years ago. And he had to spend a small fortune and go to great lengths to buy an Esrog. My father did not say one word. He says, this is symptom par excellence. Midos. It's not only about how kosher your Esrog is. It is how kosher your interaction is with somebody else. Do we have a kind eye towards other people? Do we forget other people's success? Do we rejoice for others? Do we speak to them pleasantly? On the night of freedom, the slaves performed the movement of withdrawal, which is symptom. Recoil, pulling back. Self-defiance, self-limitation, to limit who you are. You want to scream because Esrog's dropped. You don't? Self-limitation. Freedom does not rid a man of his morals, but on the contrary, it adds to his morals. When we were granted freedom, and Chayav Adam Laharus is Atzmo, we say it in the Seder, the Rambam codifies it as Halacha, Becholder Vador Chayav Adam, the Rambam says Laharus is Atzmo. Becholder Vador Chayav Adam Laharus is Atzmo, Kuli Yatzim Mitzrayim. So we relive this freedom every Nisan. And what does freedom give us? Freedom does not rid a man of his morals. On the contrary, freedom must add to your morals. Doesn't mean you could run in the streets if you're free. It doesn't mean you could steal and loot and you're free. It means you are morally yashar, living according to Torah law. That's freedom. Freedom does not rid a man of morals, but on the contrary, it adds to his morals. The transition from slavery to freedom, says the Rav, is very critical. The masters who exploited the slaves, who tortured them, who humiliated them, suddenly find themselves at the mercy of the slaves for whom they showed no concern. The masters who humiliated and tortured are suddenly at the mercy of the slaves for whom they displayed no human emotion when the slaves were under them. The natural reaction of the slave who is suddenly free is to avenge himself on the tyrant who took advantage, who murdered his baby, who assaulted and disgraced his daughter, who mercilessly beat him for any minor infraction, who is a nonsensical and sadistic ruler. It is usually a bloody, ruthless, and vengeful transition. When a slave society is free, in general, when they have the upper hand, and the former masters in society, and sometimes this could go on for hundreds of years, like it did in Egypt, and all of a sudden the masters find themselves subordinate to the newly freed slaves, it is usually a bloody, ruthless, and vengeful transition. Fear of slave upheaval haunted all the tyrants of antiquity, as well as those of modern times. The tyrants of antiquity, the rulers, the ruling class, always feared a slave upheaval, because they knew that a slave upheaval, and the slaves went free, it would be bloody, it would be ruthless, it would be cruel. Rebellion by slaves meant total destruction of society. History records many bloody and ruthless insurrections of slaves against their masters. Again, we're talking about people who have been slaves for 116 years. None of us can understand what that means. Rabbi Zavlav has a shir where he speaks about how could a person see himself as if he left Egypt. Rabbi Zavlav says, of all the thousands of people I've spoken to all over the world and all my years of teaching, not one person I have met actually feels like they themselves left Egypt. So it's Chayav Adam Moses HaTzmoku Yatzim Mitzrayim Lo Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Not to leave you hanging. Doesn't say you should see yourself as if you left the land of Egypt. None of us could understand that they were saved for 116 years. Literally none of us. We have no concept of what that means. Them and their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents, we don't understand. Chayav Adam Moses HaTzmoku Yatzim Mitzrayim. So think of a difficult time you've been in. Think of a narrow strait, Beinu Mitzrayim. And think of the redemption that came to you from that narrow strait. Then you can relate to what Yitzhak Mitzrayim means. Balamaisa, they were slaves for 116 years. And all of a sudden they were free. And all of a sudden, by the word of God, the tyrant rulers were falling before them. History, and what did the Jews do? History records many bloody and ruthless insurrections of slaves against their masters. Ancient Rome experienced twice or thrice a grim confrontation with slaves who set themselves free. European history knew of the peasants' rebellion in medieval Germany and of the bloody Cossack revolt in Ukraine. The stories about the cruelties of the rebels are blood-chilling. They were eager to settle a long account of cruelty because they were slaves for so long. Horrific massacres were typical. The Brutus drive for vengeance, for gratification of the satanic in men, was irresistible. What happened on the night of the Exodus? In the Rav's words, did anything of that kind happen on the night of the Exodus? 600,000 slaves were liberated. Suddenly, Pharaoh came to Goshen to plead with Moshe. The Egyptians were hysterical. They were mourning. They were crying. There was a great outcry, Tzaaka Gedola b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Ki ein bayis asher eim sham meish. This is on the night of Makos Bechoros. There was a hysterical outcry. There was no house in which there was no one who was dead. The Jews were now the masters. The Egyptians were now the subordinates. The oppressors were at the mercy of their former slaves. Were Egyptian babies taken out of the embrace of their mothers and thrown into the Nile River, as the babies of the slaves had been murdered? Did the Hebrews beat up the taskmaster who just days ago tortured him and tormented him mercilessly? Did the liberated slaves set fire? It actually says this. Did the liberated slaves go looting and set fire to the exclusive residences and neighborhoods of their former overlords? Did the teenagers at least smash the window panes of the offices where their taskmasters would assemble to plan restrictive and sadistic edicts? Nothing of the sort. Not one person was hurt. Not one house was destroyed. It's interesting to me because today, the grave of Meir Simcha Cohen of Divinsk in Parshas Bechukosai famously wrote, "They think Berlin is Yerushalayim." We for many decades began to think America is Yerushalayim. Whether we want to admit it or not, it's true. Today we're quickly reminded that just like Berlin was not Yerushalayim, America is also not Yerushalayim. And today, what's happening, at least in the tri-state area, I don't know in other communities, that when we have real estate events for Israel, nights of support for Zaka for Israel, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, or you've heard about it in some of the major communities, there are pro-Hamas protesters. I saw the one in Teaneck the other night. The protesters, Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. There was a large police presence, but we know how violent they want to be, how violent they can be, and how radically demonstrative they are, and their tone, and their voice, and their shouts, and their behavior. And then you have the Jewish counter protesters. I saw a video from Teaneck. It ended with the singing of a tikva, waving American flags and Israeli flags. I'm not saying we're slaves and they are our tormentors, but just how does a Yid behave in general? The Yid has to always think to himself, I'm standing before a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if I'm standing before a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there has to be restraint. And if the person that I'm speaking with is also created B'Tzalem Elokim, I need to see the godliness within. And my midos are a measure of a man. And not only are the letter of the law given at Sinai, but so is the spirit of the law. Did the teenagers at least smash the window panes of the offices where the taskmasters would assemble to plan restrictive and sadistic edicts? Nothing of the sort. Not one person was hurt. Not one house was destroyed. The liberated slaves had the courage to withdraw, tzimtzum, to defy the natural call of blood. What did the Jews do in their hour of freedom? Did they riot? Did they set fire? Did they smash the window panes? What did they do in their hour of freedom? Instead of swarming the streets of Goshen, they were locked up in their houses. They were eating the Paschal and the Korban Pesach, and they were reciting the Challah. It is unique in the history of slave revolutions. I think that this is a big Mishra Haskel and teaches us so much about what it means to be a Yid, to be a Jew, to behave properly. Baruch Hashem, we're not slaves. Now we don't have taskmasters on top of us. But this idea of Midas Tzimtzum is something we must all emulate. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who teaches us ultimately. He is Mitzamtzem to dwell between the two Kruvim. And that very often a person needs to be mitzamtzem. He needs to recoil. He needs to withdraw. He needs to self-limit himself. He needs to not say what he wants to say. He needs to not do what he necessarily wants to do. And that's one of the major lessons of Leil Yetziat Mitzrayim, right? I should say Leil Makos Bechoros, Leil Korban Pesach. In order to be a Jew, in order to be an Eved Hashem, we must at times recoil. We must be mitzamtzeim from our own selves, from our own Yetzer Hara, from the Lord who stands over us. We also have a taskmaster. We also have a Lord standing over us, and he is called the Yetzer Hara. And every day he wants to enslave us, and we must rebel against him. But the actual rebellion, the demonstration of the rebellion, is when we behave like a yid, when we behave like a mensch, when we sit around the table, we speak nicely to each other, we say hallel, we have a suudas mitzvah. Instead of taking out our frustrations on somebody else, this is the ultimate sign of what it means to be a free person. It means to understand that, of course, halachos are important, and they must be fulfilled, and they must be kept. But a Jew has to know how to behave and how to live like a Jew as well. And at times that requires that we are mitzamtzeim from our own selves, from our own yetzer hara. As a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's a package deal. Moshe could not only throw down half the luchos. Ben Adam HaChavir and Ben Adam HaMakom go hand in hand. They go together. So just like we should not smash window panes and loot in the street, we shouldn't smash the feelings of our fellow. We shouldn't put other people down. Whether it's friends or chas v'shalom, people are in our own home, people closest to us. Person has to know how to be mitzamtzeim, to not go around painting through the streets. I don't only mean literally, I mean proverbially. This is one of the messages of Leil Malkus Bechoros in Yetziyah Mitzrayim, because on that night we attained freedom. And the Rav says freedom doesn't mean a diminishment of morals. Now that you're free, it doesn't mean you could do whatever you want, talk whoever you want, loot however you want, run wherever you want. On the contrary, adrabba. Freedom means now we are endowed with morality. What morality? Morality of Torah. And therefore, how does the whole Masechtas Avos begin? Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, Umasar Li Yoshua. Yoshua is the Kenim, Zekinim, the Nevi'im, Nevi'im, the Masul, Anshe Knesset Sagadola. Because as the Baratuner says, this is not something that the Chachmei Masor came up with on their own. But Tanaim want us to know that all of Torah is a package and was given to HaKosh Baruch Hu, was given by HaKosh Baruch Hu to Moshe at Har Sinai. Ve'atem, Oseisu ish mi pesach beso ad poker. That's true. We say half halal for the remaining days of Chag HaPesach. Ma'aseyadai tovim ba'yam va'atem omim halafane. Actually, because you said that, Rav Victor Miller has a totally different reason of why we only say half halal. I don't remember. I just remember what sefer it's in, and the sefer is downstairs. Okay, Belinade, I'll try and look it up and maybe tell you next week. We'll see. Okay, we thank Tzipi Younger very, very much for her sponsorship of tonight's Shir Tizkli Mitzvot Ulamaisim Tovim. Please, Akash Baruch Hu, these Divrei Torah should bring Refuas and Yeshuas to all of Kaishon, all Cholim, and specifically a Zechira Neshama for Yitzchak Ben Avram, Alav Hashem. I wish everybody a beautiful evening and Be'ezer Hashem, Shabbat Shalom, Good Shabbos. Thank you so much and Kol Tov to all.